Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Tzadi Zayin. We begin on the very top line, Tzadi Zayin Omer Aleph, at the end of the first line, with the words, Ketzad Mocheres. In yesterday's Shia, we discussed that a woman, Nebuch, that lost her husband, is allowed to go and sell some of the estate in order to go and get support for herself in terms of mizomnos. And she doesn't have to do this in front of the Beis Din, she just has to arrange this in front of even people that are in the Beis Din, because she can't wait for mizomnos. She can't wait for a Beis Din to come there, as Rashi is going to tell us, and go and fully provide for her in the most ideal way, because the woman's starving. So therefore, she's allowed to go sell it as long as she sells it in front of three people, even have yotos, so they understand enough about real estate to know that she's not getting rooked, so she can go sell that property. So the Gemara tells us now, Ketzad Mocheres, how much can she sell in order for mizonos? Now, we want to obviously protect the estate and not have her sell something that is not going to be good for the estate. If she sells a very small amount of property, so it's going to take get a very small price for it, so the estate's going to lose out. At the same time, she sells a huge property, she doesn't need that much mizonos. So we have to try to figure out to sell the right amount of property and get the best opportunity both for her mizonos, and for the estate. So that's what the Gemara is asking now. Ketzad Mocheres. How does she actually go physically about selling the property the right amount? So we'll have a machlokas over here. The first opinion is Amr of Daniel bar Rav Katina, Amr of Huna. Rav Daniel bar Katina says in the name of Rav Huna that she sells property that is going to be 12 months worth of mizomnos. That's considered a significant enough property that they'll get a good price for it without at the same time causing too much of a loss to the estate. So Mocheres Achas L'Shneimusar Chodesh, she sells a property that will get enough food for a 12-month period of time. However, the person who she's selling the property too doesn't pay all that money up front, because let's say she does collect her ksuba at some point in time, then she's no longer entitled to mizonos, then she'll have gotten mizonos for the full year instead of only being entitled to get mizonos until she collects her ksuba. So in this situation, the person who purchases the property gives her a monthly allowance. So he gives her 1/12 of the value of the property first month, 2/12, the second 12th, and the second month, the third month, he gives her 3/12 total, and at the end of the year he pays her the whole 12/12. He pays her the entire amount. This way, if she doesn't collect the ksuba, she gets the full mizonos. Let's say she collects her ksuba after 3 months, so then the other 9/12 of the property now can go to the estate, because she's no longer entitled to mizonos once she collects the ksuba. So that's what Rav Huna's opinion is, as said by Rav Daniel bar Rav Katina, that she sells a property that will give her 12 months worth of mizonos. However, the person who she's selling to, Velokeach, he is mefarnes achas l'shoshino, gives her enough money for 30 days worth of food, and this way she'll constantly get 30 days of food as long as she hasn't collected her ksuba. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Amar Mocheres L'Shish Chadosh, he sells a property that will only get her 6 months worth of mizonos. That still, according to Rav Yehuda, would be an adequate property that the woman will get a decent price for it, and the estate won't get rooked. You can sell for 6 months worth of parnasa. And again, a similar idea. He only gives her once every 30 days. He gives her that 1/6 of the total amount in order that in case she takes her ksuba, the rest will go to the estate and not to her. So, this is a machlokas between these two Amoraim, essentially Rav Huna's opinion and Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Huna was stated by Rav Daniel bar Rav Katina, we'll call it Rav Huna's opinion. Tani Kavasi Rav Huna, and we'll see in a moment, Tani Kavasi Rav Yehuda. So we have the first brisa in support of Rav Huna's opinion. And that says, Mocheres L'Shneimusar Chodesh V'Lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shoshim Yom. Exactly what Rav Huna said. The brisa says the same thing, that she sells a property that would give her 12 months worth of mizonos, and the person who she sells it to gives her each 30 days, he gives her one flat sum for the next 30 days. Now we have a brisa in support of Rav Yehuda, Tanya Kavasi Rav Yehuda, which says exactly like he said, Mocheres L'Shish Chadosh V'Lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shoshim Yom, that she sells a property that is going to be worth 6 months worth of parnasa, and again, the person who she sold the property to gives it to her once every 30 days for the next 30 days in order that she'll be sustained, and if she takes her ksuba, she'll stop getting the mizonos and it will go back to the estate. Amar Meim says, how do we paskin over here? He says, Hilchoso Mocheres L'Shisha Chadoshim V'Lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shoshim Yom. Meim says, the Aloch is like Rav Yehuda, that it's only a 6 month sustenance. She sells a property that will give her 6 months worth of sustenance, and there was no machlokas on this, and that the person who she sells it to gives it in 30-day increments. So he gives her up front the first 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, he gives the next 30 days, etc. So Meim paskins like the Braisa that supported Rav Yehuda. No, how come he didn't pass like the other brisa? Amalei Rav Ashi Lamemar. Rav Ashi says to Lamemar, the Rav Huna, my, why didn't you like Rav Huna's rationale for 12 months? So Amalei, so Lamemar said to Rav Ashi, lo shmili, I didn't hear his opinion. In other words, he did hear it, but kolomar, lo svirili, I don't hold like that. He felt that the brisa that was in support of Rav Yehuda must have been more authentic, and therefore he paskined in this situation like the 6 month period of time that Rav Yehuda and the brisa that supported Rav Yehuda held. childlike. Gemara continues and says, "Boy, my name is Mershesh. That's the following shalot from Mershesh. What about if the woman is mocheres lemizonos, so she sells some of the property for mizonos? As we pointed out, she's allowed to do that. Everybody agrees to that. So ma'u shetachzor v'titrov l'ksuba. So she sold the property. The estate had one property, and she sold that property for a mizonos. No, the estate has no other properties. At the end of the time, she had gotten the mizonos she needs, and now she wants to collect the ksuba. So she has a lien on that property that she sold. Her prior ksuba obligation was before the sale to the other person. So can she go and collect from that property, that very property that she herself sold for mizonos, can she now go back to that property and collect it for the payment of a ksuba? And yes, that person would then have the right to go back to the yesomim and say, hey, you owe me. I had to go and give that property to the woman, to the wife of the dead husband, and now I have the right to go to the yesomim and go try to collect that debt. Albeit, there's nothing to go collect in that situation. The estate had nothing, and the yesomim aren't obligated except if there's property from the estate. So that's the question. The association, is this allowed or not? And we'll see in a moment the two sides of the coin. Ma'u shetasa v'titro l'ksuba. Can she go back and collect from that very property which she had sold for her mizonos? Can she now go back to that person that purchased that and go and reacquire that property based upon her prior lien for her kisuba? And Gemara explains the two sides of the coin are as follows. Kumwailu, the Rav Yosef. They're arguing the two possibilities over here as to a din that Rav Yosef had said. What did Rav Yosef say? Rav Yosef had said, we'll have this in the Gemara in a couple of days on Daf Kuv, Armalto de Zabin. If a woman, Nebuchadnezzar, is widowed, so she goes and sells her husband's property in order to either go collect her ksuba or to go collect mizonos. So in that situation, Rav Yosef had said, Achrayus Ayasme. In that situation, we're talking about there's other properties there possibly as well, but the achrayis on that property isn't by the widow. She doesn't have to give achrayis to it. The estate gives the achrayis. So the achrayis goes on the estate, which means on the yesomim. So they're the ones that would have to go, and if something happened to that property, it was taken away, so they would be the ones that would be responsible to go and pay back the person who bought it, not the widow who got the mizonos or got her ksuba. Likewise, if Beis Din sold the property, Ubeidina Dizobin, so the Achrayis is also on the Yasmin. It's not on the Achrayis on the Beis Din, certainly. The Achrayis goes on the estate, on the Yisomim. Now, that's what Rabbi Yosef had said on Daf Kuf. So the question that we're asking over here is, Mai, do we say in the situation where she's the one that sold it, and she's the one that's now going to take the prior lien on it, so even the Achrayis, the Yasmin, since the Achrayis is on the Yisomim, so, in fact, she could sell it for Mizonos and then go and reacquire it for her Ksuba, Tarfa. She has the right to go and do this because the Achrayis is on the Yisomim, not on her. Or do we say no? In a general case, that would be 100% right, like Rabbi Yosef had said. Odilma, maybe here it's different. Motzi Amri Law. The person who purchased it from him said, yes, granted the Achrayis is on the Yisomim, but that's Nihi. The Achrayis is the Alma Lo Kabilis Yilavach. You didn't accept any Achrayis on this. It's on the Yisomim. But that's for everybody else in the world but you. Achrayis the Nafshach, but that you shouldn't be the one to go collect it twice. You sold it to us for your Mizonis. Now you're going to take it from us for your Ksuba. Achrayis the Nafshach, Milo Kibule Kabilt. Didn't you accept Achrayis at least for that? So granted, the Achrayis in general belongs to the estate, belongs to the Yisomim. But here, where you're the one that's going to collect twice, maybe in that situation, there should be Achrayis on her as well, and she can't collect twice. So that was the question they asked the Rav Sheshes. So Amalei, Rav Sheshes answered these people in the base matters and asked them, Tenisua, this is a Braisa. The Braisa says, Mocheres viholeches ad kidei ksubasa, that in general, the woman is allowed to go and sell property from the estate for her mizonos, but she can only sell this as long as she leaves enough in the estate for her ksuba. The Semech law, and she relies upon that amount that she remains in the estate for her ksuba. So therefore, she can only sell mizonos, properties for her mizonos, up until the value of her ksuba. And as long as there's enough still to pay her ksuba, she can sell mizonos, because there won't be any ability for her to go take back that from the people that she sold it to. So here's the answer. Sheisha seems to say that she can't go and take back the property that she sold for mizonos to go and pay for her ksuba. She has to always leave enough in the estate to go and collect the ksuba. She can't go and double collect from the person that she sold the property from the estate to for mizonos. So what do you see from here? Shema Amino Rav Sheshes says, Shaira in. As long as she left enough in the estate to go collect the ksuba, she can sell as much property as she needs to for mizonos. But lo Shaira, if she didn't leave enough property in the estate, collect the ksuba, lo, she can't go back to the people that she sold the mizonos to and now collect the ksuba from that. So therefore, the question is asked and answered. Rav Sheshet seems to say that in this situation, the person who purchased the field from her, from his owners, can say to her, listen, you at least have to give me achrayus. Granted, for anybody else, you don't have to give achrayus, but you can't go double collect. You can't collect for your mizonos and then take it back from me and collect it for your kesuba. Shmuel says, lav davka. Maybe that's not a raya. Granted, Rav Sheshet said this, but maybe Rav Sheshet was going, lifnei mishur sedin. V'dilma eitz tova kamash v'lon. Maybe Rav Sheshet was saying, listen, it's not a good idea to go and collect from the same person twice. Because you know what people are going to say? They're going to call you the lo likru lo hadrinasa. They're going to call you somebody that goes back on their word, so to say. You've sold it to them seemingly like an honest alecha woman, and now you're going to take it back from them, you're going to have a bad reputation, and nobody's going to want to marry you. So therefore, it's actually a negative for you. So therefore, he was just saying an eitz tova. Min hadin, maybe you're allowed to do this, because technically the chrayus is on the assumption, and it's not on you. But in order that you shouldn't have a bad reputation, that they shouldn't call you a hadrinasa, a woman who goes back on her word. So therefore, that's why Rav Sheshet said, don't do this. Make sure you leave enough in the estate to collect the ksuba, so you shouldn't have to go double collect. You're selling it to somebody from his owners, and you're going to take it back from them to pay for your ksuba. So therefore, that's not a raya. However, the Gemara says, no, it is a raya. Because im kain, if in fact this were correct, that it's just an eitz tova, so then listne gova ksubasa min hashar. It should have said, make sure you leave enough to collect your ksuba from the remainder of the estate as an eitz tova. But it didn't say that. It said, the loshon of my semechlo. Why did it use the loshon of semechlo? You should rely upon that. It should be a smach for you. It should be definitive. That implies, shmamin lo shaira in, lo shaira lo. That implies that this wasn't just an eitz tova that Rav Sheshet was saying. This is, in fact, a good raya, that only in a situation where she left enough in the estate, can she go collect mizonos from anything else, other properties. But if there's not enough in the estate to pay ksuba, so she may sell it for mizonos, but then she won't be able to go and take that property and collect it a second time for her ksuba. Okay. They asked the following shalom based madrash. They asked, Zabin, if a person sold property because he needed money. So a person, let's say, needed to buy food, as we'll see some cases in a moment, and he unfortunately needed it because he was destitute and he needed to go and sell this property because of a specific need, a business need or a food need. But then, as it turned out, he didn't need it. So let's say he was very cash poor and he needed to sell something. But it turned out that somebody was willing to lend the money and he didn't have to buy the food on cash. He was able to buy it on credit, and therefore he didn't have to sell his house. So in this situation, do we say Hadris Vini or Lo Hadris Vini? So that's the base medrash. He was forced to sell the property, but he really didn't want to. So once we all know that he really didn't want to. Now Rashi points out that everybody knew that he really didn't want to. That's not a doubt, because otherwise it would be Dvarim Shebelev. And Dvarim Shebelev ain't a Dvarim. See here, it's not a Dvarim Shebelev. He was saying over and over again, I don't want to sell my house, I don't want to sell this house, but nobody's willing to lend me money on credit to go get food, so I have to sell my house. Or this is a great business deal, I really need to buy stock, or else my business is going to go kaput. So I have to sell my house in order to go and buy this merchandise. So whatever the situation may be, it was clear. He stated it. It was no doubt that he was only doing this under duress. So if the circumstances turn out that he wasn't under duress, so do we say that the sale was off retroactively? Or do we say, no, the sale went through. Sorry, buddy, the sale goes through. That's the question that they asked in the base medrash. Toshma, we have the following Maisa Shahoya that will give us an answer. The Hau Gabra, the once was a person, the Zabin Aral or a Papa, who sold land to a Papa. A Papa is a Tzaddik. The Itztrichle Zuze Lemiz Banture. The person who sold this land to a Papa needed the money in order to buy a certain oxen. He needed to plow his field. And he had no choice. He wouldn't have been able to plow his field. So he sold his land. He sold property to Rav Papa. But then, as it turned out, Lesof Lot Strichle, somebody else was lending him the oxen, and he didn't need that money to buy the oxen. So what happened? So is the din that Rav Papa can say, sorry, buddy, you sold it to me, even though I knew you needed the oxen, but sorry, I bought it, even though you needed the oxen, the money for the oxen, but I bought it. Or no, if you know that he needed the money for the oxen, then it turns out he doesn't need the money for the oxen, then you have to give it back. So what happened? Rahadri Nihale Rapapaliara. Rapapa gave it back to him. That seems to imply that, in fact, if you know for a fact that the person was only selling it under duress, and then the duress didn't come through, that case didn't apply, so then you have to give back the property. What says Lavdavka? Rapapa was a big tzaddik. Lifnei Mishura Sedeno Diava. He went above and beyond what was required. Min Hadin, he could have kept the property. But he didn't want people saying, look at Rav Papa, look what he did. He took this poor guy's property because he's legally allowed to. So Rav Papa didn't want to do this. He went Lifnei Mishura Sedeno and he gave back the property. He kept bringing me a riot that's the din. Try again. Toshma. Follow my Sashoya. The Hau, the once was a person that Batsarta, the Havi Ben Ardoi, who sold some property in a situation of a famine. Batsorta is a famine. So there was a batsoris, there was a famine in Nardoi, and Zabninhu Kule Amuli Abdinayu. And everybody sold their property. So there once was a person, amongst many people, that sold his property in that place because they needed to buy food. There was a famine, and everybody was never stuck, so they stole their properties to buy food. But then, as it turned out, wheat came. All of a sudden, the famine that they thought was there wasn't there. Some shipments had been held up, and the shipments came through. So therefore, everybody wanted their houses back, because now the prices came down to normal, and everybody was able to afford it. So they went to Reb Nachman to Basra. Reb Nachman, as we mentioned many times, was the big Baal based in. And he was going to pass the case. Reb Nachman told the people that purchased all of their houses, Dinahu the Hadre Apadne Lemarai. You got to return all these houses to all these people because they sold it under duress. And the law is, if you sell it under duress, that the deal goes back. Gemara says, Lav Davka, that's not a raya. You can't bring us a raya from here because Hosom Nami Zvine Betosabo. At the time that they sold it, the grain was already there. They just didn't know it. And therefore, the Goy Mill says, it turned out, it was revealed subsequently, the Arava, the boat, be coolly have a kaima. The boat bringing all the grain was stuck over there on the side of the river. The river was very fast flowing at that point. The boats had to go to the side of the river so they shouldn't get drowned and sink. And therefore, so they were stuck on the side of the river. And therefore, the boats were really there. They just didn't know it. And therefore, at the time that they sold it, it was a mekach tos. But you can't bring me a raya that in our case, where somebody is selling something and only subsequently later on did that need turn out not to be present, would the same din apply. So we can't bring me a raya from the case of Reb Nachman. Gemara says, yes, you can. Now, this is the way Rashi understands this. Rashi says, I hochi hainu devadai the omale. So Rashi says, this is now a proof to what we just said. As opposed to Tosos, who reads this as a kasha. But in any event, we'll just read it straight over here, although it's a little bit funny with the lashon of Ihachi, but that's why Rashi seems to have the extra word, Hainu devadai the Omale. So Rashi adds the word vadai over here. So if this is true, as we just said, so now we can understand, Hainu vadai the Omale Rami bar Shmuel, Reb Nachman. Now we understand why Rami bar Shmuel questioned Reb Nachman, and he said, if what you're saying is right, that this deal has to go back, Imke Nimse Smachshilin Lassid Lobo. Nobody's going to ever want to do real estate deals over here because they say, oh, it's going to go back because they're going to say that it was under duress and the duress was already solved and we didn't know about it. So nobody's going to ever want to do a deal again. So Reb Nachman said to him, Amalei, Reb Nachman says to Rami Bar Shmuel, Atu Koyomo Batzarto Shlicha, is this a common situation that the famine was there and that the boats were there with the food? No, it's not a common situation. So therefore, it's not something that the people that buy and sell real estate are going to be concerned about. Rami Bar Shmuel says, yes, they will. Amalei, in. This was apparently a very common problem that the boats couldn't get through because the rivers were very strong and the boats had to go off to the side and they weren't able to easily get through always on time. So Rami Moshul said, yes, this is in fact a common problem and therefore you can't go and prove to us that this is the din because it's going to go and change around the willingness of people to buy properties if this is in fact the case. So we don't have a raya. It's a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Bar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, how do we pass in the Hilchasa Zabin? We pass it like Rav Nachman. That if a person sold the land, and as it turned out, below its trichul ezuzi, and it turns out that he didn't need the money at that point in time, he was under duress. So then, hadres vini, we do allow the deal to go back through. Now again, this is only in a situation where it's clear that that's why he sold the money. He can't say afterwards, oh, I really didn't want to sell the money because that's Dvarim Shebelev. And Dvarim Shebelev ain't no Dvarim. Here, it's not Dvarim Shebelev. It's clear and obvious to everybody that, in fact, this was not something that was being done willingly, but it was only being done under the duress. So in that situation, if the situation that caused the duress went away, isn't there, so then the deal has to be returned. Now go to the next Mishnah. Almana. A woman, Nebuch, who's widowed, Beimin, Erisin, Beimin, Anisun, whether she's widowed from the first stage of marriage, the Erisin stage, or whether she's widowed from the second stage of marriage, a full marriage of Anisun, Mocheresh, Lobe based, and if she wants to go and sell property from the estate, she's allowed to go and sell it, not being in the presence of a Beistin. What she's allowed to do in this situation is just sell it in front of three knowledgeable people to make sure that she's not getting rooked. And in that situation, since she needs the money right then and there, so she's allowed to go and sell it even without the Beistin. Now, this would be true whether she's selling it for Mazonos, and the Tanakhama says this is true even if she's selling it for her Kesuba. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I agree with you, Min HaNisuin. If the woman was fully married, she had been in Nisua, so then Mocheres Shelo Beveistin. Then she's allowed to go and sell the estate properties from the estate without a beis din. She can sell it just in front of three people to make sure she's not getting rooked. However, if she was only married the first stage of marriage, meaning erusin, Rabbi Shimon says no. Lo timkor ella beis din. Now here, the opinion is that you don't get mizonos only from erusin. So therefore, she's only selling it over here for a ksuba. So she's not in a destitute situation that she doesn't have anything to eat. So Rabbi Shimon holds in this situation, when you're selling it for the ksuba, lo timkor ella beis din. She must sell it with the beis din to make sure that she's getting the best price for it. Mipnei she'en lo mizonos, because she's not entitled to mizonos in this situation. So there's not a rush to go and give it because she's not starving. So therefore, her father's still supporting her, or she's supporting herself. So in this situation, mipnei she'en lo mizonos, she's not entitled to mizonos, so she has to sell in front of the beis din to get her ksuba. And then the Mishnah makes what seems to be an unnecessary statement. The Gemara will explain why it is necessary. The kol she'en mizonos, any situation where she's not entitled to mizonos, and the Gemara will explain this is talking about a gerusha, when she's divorced, she's also not entitled to mizonos. So even if she's divorced min hanisuin, she's not entitled to mizonos. Lo timkor ela beveisin. In that situation, according to Rabbi Shimon, whenever you're selling it for the ksuba and not for mizonos, you must go and sell it in front of a basin of mumchim so that you make sure that the estate is not getting rooked. They're getting the best price for it. Gemara starts off and says, bishloma min hanisuin. We can understand why, if the woman was in the suwa, Mishum Mizone, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Shimon would agree, that she's allowed to go and sell it for Mizonos, because Nebuch, the woman, is starving. And if she doesn't go and sell it, so she's going to starve. So therefore, she's allowed to sell it without waiting for the full Beis Din of Mumchim to go and form. She can just go in front of three knowledgeable people, the three real estate evaluators, and say, listen, is this a fair price? They say yes, and she can go and sell it. Because as Rashi points out, Dira Maskum, Mocherish Lo Beveistin, Shev Sholol Yo Shoshevis Misane, actually is that Gula Beistin. Because she can't wait till the Beistin gathers and forms and gets together, and she's starving. She's going to be fasting. So therefore, that's why she's allowed to sell. As everybody agrees, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, if she's entitled to Mizonos, in other words, she was in a sewer, so therefore, she can sell it without the formal Beistin's approval. We turn to Tzadi Zayin Omid Beis, but Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Elamina Eris, and Rabbi Shimon says, you can't go and sell it, but the Tanna Kamma said you could sell it. So why does the Tanna Kamma say that you're allowed to sell it in Erisin? It's not for Mizonos, it's for the Ksuba. Rabbi Shimon seems to be correct. Why is the Tanna Kamma saying, my Taima, that you're allowed to go and sell it even without the Beis Din of Mumchim saying that it's a valid sale? So we have two possible answers. Omar Ula tells us, Mishum China, women will not want to get married. This is the way Rashi understands this. We had this previously. Tosus understands it in a slightly different way, which I'll explain in a moment. But Rashi says, Mishum China is that in the situation, Rashi says in Diva Masa, Mishum China, Shiu Baleim L'chein Beinehen V'lo Yimnu HaNoshim Milinose Le'anoshim. The women should know that they're going to have an easy time collecting their ksuba, and this will encourage them to get married. Even though we normally say, Tal Mesav Tandu, Mil Mesav Armelu, even though women like to get married, even more so than men, but we still want to make it as easy for the women to want to get married. And in this situation, they know they're not going to have to go to a beis din to go and collect their ksuba. They can just go to expert real estate evaluators and make sure they're not getting rooked. So then they'll be more quicker to get married. So that's what Ula says, Mishum China, in order to encourage marriage. Tosa says, this way they'll get the ksuba, and they'll be much better equipped to get remarried. And therefore, Mishum China means that the men will want to marry her because now she has an estate, so to say. She has a dowry. So therefore, men will want to marry her the second time. So that's what it means, Mishum China. In either way, Rashi and Tosus is understanding both means it's for the benefit of the woman, and this will encourage marriage. That's what Ula says. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Meir, the reasoning is, because having to go to a basin is a big deal. To sell some real estate with a couple of real estate evaluators saying, yeah, that's appropriate value, so that's not such a big deal. You can do that privately. You don't have to go and make a big public showing of it. But to go to a basin and be presenting in front of a basin, so a husband wouldn't want his wife to have to do that, and therefore it's understood he's allowing to go collect it because he doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed. Then, but he passes away, now his wife's going to have to go in front of a beis din to go collect the ksuba. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says that's the reason. Nope, they're both good reasons. Is there nafkamina between the two? Might be nai. What's the difference practically, halacha lemaisa, between Ula Mishum China and Rav Yochanan, shalotish baze ishto? His wife shouldn't become embarrassed by having to go to a beis din. So there's a big practical difference. Ika b'nai, the nafkamina would be gerusha, a woman who's divorced. So Laman Diom Mishum China, according to Ulu, says that women won't want to get married otherwise, so that applies to any woman, even though she's subsequently going to be divorced, but we're interested in women in general wanting to get married. So grusha nami boychein. So despite the fact that it ends up here it is a divorce, but we're interested in women in general wanting to get married, and this will make women know that they'll be able to collect their ksuba more easily. So this would apply to whether the woman is a widow or a woman is a divorcee. The same principle applies to Mishum China. So Ulu would make no distinction over here whether it was a woman who was divorced or a woman who was widowed. But According to Rav Yochanan, there's a big difference. Laman diomer lefi she'ein adam rotzet shizbazi ishto v'beisin. Rav Yochanan says that a man doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed in beisin, so he only cares about that for his widow. He doesn't care about that for the woman he divorced. Yerusha lo echpat leh. He wouldn't be so upset if the divorcee had to go to a beisin. So therefore, that would be a nafkamina between Ula and Rav Yochanan. Mar says, Tanan, the Mishnah we're going to learn in a moment, a little bit later down on this Amud, says exactly like Rav Yochanan, as a kasha nula. The Mishnah there tells us, at the end of that next Mishnah, Ugrusha lo timkor el beisin. It says beferish that a grusha has to go and sell the property in front of a beisin. Now, that goes exactly like Rav Yochanan. Bishlomo leman diyom ralefish in odom rotz shizbaz ishto beisin. According to Rav Yochanan, says the reason is you don't want your wife who's nebuch widowed. You die, and the wife is now a widow. You don't want her to be embarrassed to have to go to Beis Din, so that only applies to a woman who's widowed. It wouldn't apply to a woman that you divorced. So the Mishnah seems to be in accord perfectly with Rav Yochanan's opinion. But according to Ula, that said it was Mishum China, Eleman the Amim Mishum China, so Grusha Nai Boychein. We said that the Grusha also, we're encouraging women in general. We don't care whether they're widowed or divorced. We want to encourage women to get married in the first place. So Ula's reasoning seems to go against the Mishnah. So Kasha Nula. So one says, no, it's not a kashanula. Homani, Ula says, that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. I agree. The Tanakhama holds like me, but Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like me. Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that an Arusa always has to go to Beis Din. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Bizbaze or Mishum China. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Our machlokes, Ula and Rav Yochanan, is only going according to Tanakhama. Where it says, okay, so you want to say that the next Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon? So why would Rabbi Shimon repeat it? He said it in our Mishnah as well. Rabbi Shimon, you're telling me that the next Mishnah we're going to learn in a moment is Rabbi Shimon, so Hotonu Le'Resha. We've already learned that in our Mishnah. Why? Our Mishnah says, Mino Erisin Lo Timkar V'chulei. Our Mishnah said that Rabbi Shimon holds that if the woman was divorced from Nisuin, so then she's allowed to collect Mizonos. But if she's divorced only from Erisin, where she doesn't collect Mizonos, she's only collecting Yuxuba, so then you're not allowed to go and collect. Now, this is true. Our Mishnah is telling us that you're only allowed to go and collect in front of a Beis Din. So why would the next Mishnah have to tell us the same thing? So obviously the next Mishnah is not Rabbi Shimon's opinion, because Rabbi Shimon told it to us here already. So he says, no, Ula's still okay. Ma'u detema, because Ula says you need it both in our Mishnah and you need it in the next Mishnah. If you had just had our Mishnah, Almana min Erisin, hu delo nafish chen didah. I would have said, an Almana from Erisin, so there isn't so much chen over there. As Rashi points out, in Dira Masu delo nafish chen didah, they never had relations, so there wasn't that intimacy, that special relationship between husband and wife when they're intimate. So below yera be'ene hanoshim im hutruchazu. So women won't be reluctant to get married if they know, well, if I'm only an arutz, so yeah, it makes sense that I'd have to go to Beis Din because we weren't intimate yet. But once we're intimate, if I have to go to Beis Din, I'm not going to be interested in getting married as much. So therefore, in a situation where it's an almanim and erisin, so that you have lo nafish chein dida, so therefore I would not have a problem if he says that even in that situation you have to go to a Beis Din. Aval Gerusha, but a woman who's a Gerusha, which implies normally that she's a Gerusha, even from Nisuin, so Dinofish Chayin Didot, Mistama, they had relations, and nevertheless you're telling me that she has to go to a Beis Din. I would say maybe Rabbi Shimon would say in that situation that no, she wouldn't have to go to a Beis Din because of Tiboy Chayin, this concept that she would not want to get married in that situation. And Afilu Rabbi Shimon, maybe in that situation, she would be allowed to go and collect it without going to a Beis Din. So Kamash Rulon, that's why Rabbi Shimon has to repeat it in the next Mishnah. Where it says, no, Hanami Tanina, we learned this in the first Mishnah. We don't need the second Mishnah to teach us both of these cases. Now, why is that? Because there was that extra line in the Mishnah. Remember I said there's an extra line here that we would explain in the Gemara? Here's where we explain it. The extra line in the first part of the Mishnah said, Kol she'en lo mizonos lasu yamai. It said, Kol she'en lo mizonos, if a woman doesn't have mizonos, so then she's not entitled to go collect her ksuba. We said, Kol she'en lo mizonos lo timkor ela beisin. She has to go collect it in front of the basin. What was that adding? It's aiding the case of the Gerusha. Lasu Yamai, what did that come to teach us? Even the case of a Gerusha, Lav Lasu Yagrusha, which you might have thought that Rabbi Shimon says he would agree that you can collect that because they were intimate and there's a Gerusha and a Yisuin. So he's teaching us any situation of a Gerusha where there's no Mizonos. So all the cases have been said in our Mishnah. So the next Mishnah, it would be a repetition. Mustama, the next Mishnah is not Rabbi Shimon and it's a Kash again on Ula. So it says, no, Ula would disagree with that. Ula would say, no, you need the next Mishnah as well to teach us Rabbi Shimon's statement, because there's another point over here, and that is Lasuye. The next Mishnah is coming to add Migureshes Ve'ena Migureshes, a woman who was not clear that she was divorced. The husband threw the get at her in the Shusarabim, and it's a Safek Karvlo, Safek Karvlo. They're 8 amos apart, and he throws it, and it lands 4 amos away. So if it's in her possession, her dalet amos, then she's divorced. If it's still within his dalet amos, she's not divorced. And that never was clarified. So lasuye mugureshes ve'en mugureshes. In that situation, the husband's still mechuyev to give her mizonos. So she can't get married, but the husband's mechuyev to give her mizonos. Now, this goes in accord with Rabbi Zeira. What did Rabbi Zeira say? The Amar Rabbi Zeira. So in this situation where it's a suffix, is she not migureshes? The Baal is chayav b'mizonos. He has to go and give him his onos. But only the Baal is chayav to give him his onos because he's still not allowing her to get married to somebody else. But now if the Baal dies, in that situation, she is allowed now to get married to somebody else. She's either a divorcee or she's a widow. Now, that would obviously make a difference whether she marry a Cohen or not, but we're not interested is she allowed to marry this person or that person. The bottom line is that, in fact, she's now allowed to get married. So now it no longer becomes an issue of mizonos. Maybe the Yishomim don't have to give her any mizonos because, in fact, the husband died. So then it's a financial matter. If it's a financial matter, so then you might have said over here that she'd be allowed to go sell it in front of Basin. So Kamash Vulon, that she's not allowed to sell it because she's not entitled to Mizonos. So therefore, both our Mishnah and this next Mishnah are all necessary to teach us Ula's Din. It's all Rabbi Shimon. Try again to Shlag up Ula. Toshma, the following Brisa seems to also go against Ula. It says, Kishem Shemocheri Shaloba Basin, just like she's not allowed to go sell it except in front of a Basin, Kach Yorisheha, Yorshek Subasa. Just like she's allowed to go and sell for her ksuba without going to a beis din, so to her yorshim are also allowed to go sell it without going to a beis din. Mochim shelo beis din. Now, why is that? According to Rav Yochanan, it's not a problem. Just like a husband, Rav Yochanan says, doesn't want to embarrass his wife by making him go to a beis din, so too he doesn't want to embarrass her yorshim to go to a beis din. A woman is not going to want to get married so quickly if she knows she's going to have to go to beis din. And even if she doesn't have to go to beis din, she doesn't want her yorshim to have to go to beis din. It's a hassle to go to beis din. So we free her up and say, listen, you're not going to have to go to beis din as long as you can go to 3 real estate evaluators and make sure that the property you're not getting rooked, so then you're allowed to go and sell the property without going to Beis Din, you or your yorshim. So therefore, Rav Yochanan said that a man doesn't want his wife or his wife's inheritance to have to go to Beis Din, so this would apply across the board. So Rav Yochanan fits in very well with his brisa. But according to Ula, the reasoning is, Ula says, this is to build love between the husband and wife, so women will want to get married, they won't have to go to Beis Din, so that would apply only to the woman. What does that have to do? It's to encourage her and her husband to be in love, so to say, that she'd want to get married. What does that have to do with her yorshim? So Gemara says, no, it has to do with her yorshim as well, because that will discourage the woman from wanting to get married if she knows that her yorshim is going to have to go to Beis Din as well, because Tirguma Ula, Ula's going to tell us, Kigon Sheyorashta Bita Oachosa. She has a daughter or a sister that's the one that's inheriting her, and therefore she doesn't want them to have to go to Beis Din as well. So therefore, Ula would still be consistent with this Brisa also. So we don't resolve the machlokas between Ula and Rav Yochanan from either the next Mishnah, which we're about to learn, or from this Brisa. Now, we get to the next Mishnah. Now, the simple understanding was this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So, Machrok, Subasa, Omiktsasa, the Mishnah Sasava tells us if a woman, Nebuch, she lost her husband, and now she's selling her ksuba, or part of her ksuba, or Mishkanok, Subasa, Omiktsasa, she uses her ksuba as a mashkon for borrowing some money or something, a business deal or whatever, or part of her ksuba, or Nostok, Suba, Liacher, Omiktsasa, or she gave away a ksuba to somebody else for whatever the reason, or only part of the ksuba to somebody else. So lo simkor es hashar el beis din. So she is considered no longer able to get mazonos. As we'll see, this Tanakama's opinion, which is Rabbi Shimon, is that once you sell any part of the estate for your ksuba, or certainly the entire estate, you're not entitled to mazonos. And therefore, in this situation, Rabbi Shimon Lishitaso, whenever you're not entitled to mazonos, you must go and sell the rest of the estate for your ksuba in front of a beis din. Now, the Chacham disagree. Now, the Chacham, as we'll see, is the opinion that says that, no, until you sell your entire ksuba, you're still entitled to mazonos. So, the Chacham Momim, Mocheresi, Afilu Arba, V'chamisha Pamim. She can sell it piecemeal. So, let's say ksuba is worth $100,000. So, she sells $20,000 worth of property for first part of ksuba. Then, she sells another $20,000 for second part of ksuba. She's still entitled to mazonos. She sells another $20,000, still entitled to mazonos. She sells another $20,000, still entitled to mazonos. Only when she sells, finally, the last $20,000, her entire ksuba is used up. Now she's no longer entitled to mizonos. But until she sells her entire ksuba, even if she sells it piecemeal over 4 or 5 times, Mocheris he afilu arba v'chamisha pomim or mocheris l'mizono shelo b'beisin. She's still allowed to go sell any other things in the estate for her mizonos. So here's a fundamental difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Yischachamim. Rabbi Shimon holds that once she sells any part of her ksuba, she's no longer entitled to mizonos, and therefore she's only allowed to sell it in front of a beisin because she's only selling it for her ksuba. Where the Chachamim say no, as long as she hasn't sold her entire ksuba, she's still entitled to mizonos. And as we've already said, for selling for mizonos, a woman is allowed to go sell it without a beis din. This is like the Tanakama from the previous Mishnah. The Chachamim are in accord with the Tanakama from the previous Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, v'koseves, according to this opinion, we had this the other day, when the Chachamim say she can sell it, but she should write down that I'm not selling it all for my ksuba, I'm selling it for mizonos. The mizonos macharti. She should say, this I'm selling for my ksuba, this I'm selling for my mizonos. And she hasn't sold the entire ksuba, so she's still allowed to collect mizonos. And that's what it says. She shouldn't look like Rav Sinosa. She shouldn't look like she's a gluttonous woman. She has a high maintenance, because then she's not nobody's going to want to marry her. If they see she just sold a $20,000 property, she's saying it's all for mizonos. What? This woman needs $20,000 a month for mizonos? So nobody's going to want to marry her. But she says, no, I sold $5,000 for mizonos, and $15,000 are ready to take part of my ksuba. So then say, ah, very good. That's already reasonable, and people would want to marry her. Mishnah continues and says, Ugrusha, this is what we had earlier in the shiur today, Ugrusha lo simkar el beisin. We said a grusha must go and sell any properties only in a basin. She can't go and sell them on her own in front of just three real estate evaluators, because she's not doing it for mizonos. Grusha is not entitled to mizonos, she's doing it for the ksuba. And Rabbi Shimon's opinion, this is still Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that she is not allowed to go sell it ella bebeisin. That's the simplest way to learn the Mishnah. There are other ways to learn the Mishnah as well. I learned it in what I thought was the simplest way. Now we start the Gemara. Gemara says, who's the author of our Mishnah? Masdis and Mani. Rabbi Shimon here. And like we've already learned today, our Mishnah is going in accord with Rabbi Shimon. Of course, the Chachamim, not Rabbi Shimon, but the Tanakama over here is Rabbi Shimon. Because the Tanya, because we're learning the Brawling Brisa. Machlok Subasa. Here the Brisa says, Beferish. What I pointed out is the Machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. That Rabbi Shimon holds that once you sell any part of the ksuba, you're no longer entitled to mizonos, whereas the Chachamim hold that as long as you haven't sold the entire ksuba, you're entitled to mizonos. So the Braisa says this beferish, the Tanya, Marko Subasa, if a woman sold her ksuba, so Mishkinah Ksubasa, or if she used her ksuba as a collateral, or Asa Ksubasa Apotekili Acher, or she makes a ksuba to be the thing that will be collected from some sort of other loan or a deal that she has, in all of these situations, Ain La Mizonos. Now, all of these are selling her entire ksuba, and only when she sells her entire ksuba does she no longer have mizonos. Now some have the girsa, Rashi does, for example, Divrei Rav Meir, we have in parentheses, and says in the Masoras HaShas that in the Tosefta, where this is from, it's not present over there. In any event, whether you have it, this is the opinion of Rav Meir or not, this is the Chacham's opinion that we had over here, which is also the Tanakama of the previous Mishnah, that as long as she is collecting for mizonos, then she's allowed to go. And even if she collected part of a ksuba, she can still collect mizonos, and that's the Tanakhama's opinion. And that's like the Chachamim in our Mishnah that we have over here. And along comes Rabbi Shimon, he disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Even though she didn't sell all of it, Ela Machsisa, only half of it, Ibda Mizonos sell. As soon as she sells, it doesn't literally mean half of it. It means that she sells any part of it. Once she sells any part of her ksuba, she's no longer entitled to mizonos, and therefore she would have to sell it in front of a beis din to get her ksuba. Where it says, Lameimra, it seems to imply from here that Rabbi Shimon Sabar, the law Amrina Mixas Kesef, Kikol Chesef. So the idea of Aksuba is learned out in part. It's not clear that this is the Raisa or the Rabbanu, we had this previously. It says, Kesef Yishkol Kimo Harbisulos. And then we learned out, either the Raisa or the Rabbanu, that Mo Harbisulos is a certain amount of Kesef. So it seems that Rabbi Shimon over here is saying that this Kesef means even a small amount of kesef is missing, it's no longer called kesef. So the name of the Rishimun Savar, the lower mina mixes kesef, kakal kesef. So if there's only a little bit of kesef left, he says that's not considered like all the kesef. You have to have all the kesef left, and even if some of it's missing, this pasuk doesn't apply. And the Rabbanan, they hold, as long as there's some kesef left, in other words, even though part of the ksuba was paid off, Rabbanan Savar, mina mixes kesef, kakal kesef. As long as there's some kesef left, it's called, again, kesef yishkol kamar basulos. That's considered that she's allowed to still go collect the ksuba. So where it says, but that seems to be different. That's what we're learning right over here now, but that's different than the following brisa. Because we learned elsewhere the following, the Tanya. We learned in the following brisa, where we had the darshning, we had this early in the Masechta, where we learned, v'hu isha bivsuleha yikoch. So a Kohen Gadol has to go and marry a woman who is a basula, right? A regular Kohen can marry an Amana, but a Kohen Gadol has to marry a basula. And now we darshed the word bivsuleha, there's a number of ways to darshan it, which we'll see in a moment, but Right now, we're just suggesting that the Tanakhama holds over here, Prat Lebogera Shekol Ubusua Divi Remeir. Remeir, who's the Tanakhama over here, says this comes to exclude a woman who's a Bogeris. Now, a Bogeris is a Basula from a physical point of view, but her Basulin, her virginity status, is somewhat diminished just by aging. So when a girl reaches the age of 12 years and 6 months, her Basulin are less complete, even though she hasn't had relations with anybody, so they're still intact from a virginity point of view in the vernacular sense, but the Basulin aren't complete. So here you see that the Tanakhama of Meir says that if any of the Basulin are gone, it's as if she's not considered a Basula. Whereas in our Gemara over here, we said in the Brisa that we just brought down, Remeir was the opinion that as long as there was still some Kesuba left, so she's still collecting Mizonos. So it seems that Remeir is at odds. Here in the first Brisa that we brought down, he holds that as long as some of the Kesuba is left, she can still collect Mizonos. But here in this Brisa about a Kohen Gadol marrying a Basula, she has to be a full Basula. She can't have been beyond the age of Bogeris. She has to be a full Basula. Prat Bogeris, she called Basula. So he seems to be contradictory. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, our Rabbi Shimon, Machshiv Bogeris, they say that no, as long as she has some Basulin, she's physically intact as a Basula, albeit her Basulin have diminished because of age, that's okay. But in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon's opinion was that if she has not her entire ksuba, if only part of the ksuba is there, she can't collect mazonos. So again, it seems a steer of Rameir, and a steer of Shimon, Rameir. So it says no. In fact, the way we learned it, our Mishnah is correct. Rameir holds that as long as part of the ksuba is still not paid off, she can collect mazonos. And Rabbi Shimon holds that if the entire ksuba is not there, unless the entire ksuba is there, she can't collect mazonos. If even some of it is gone, she can't collect mazonos. So how come they differ over here in the darshan of the pasuk who yishab b'sulah yikach? So hasim b'kray pligid. That's a separate machlokas. It has nothing to do with the machlokas that we have over here in our Mishnah and our Gemara. That's a separate drasha of the psukim. They're arguing hasim b'kray pligid. There's two different ways to understand this pasuk because the word could have been b'sulah, it could have been b'suleha, and instead it writes b'suleha. So there's three possible ways to learn it, and here Rabbi Meir learns it differently than Rabbi Shimon. Remeir Savar, he holds Bisula, Afilu Mixas Bisulim. Rabbi Meir says the word Bisula would have implied even if she only has partial Bisulim. In other words, if she was a Bogeris. And then it comes to teach us, Bisulah comes to teach us, no, don't learn it Bisula. Adika Kula Bisulim. From the fact that he uses Lashon Bisulah instead of Bisula, teaches us that she has to have complete Bisulim. In other words, she has to be less than a Bogeris. And, of course, she has to physically not have had relations. So the word Bisulah implies both. And what does Bivsuleha mean? So that comes to teach us an additional din. Bechidarka in Shalokidarkalo. It's only if she had vaginal relations that would make her considered to be no longer able to marry a Kohen Gadol. But if she only had relations, be a Shalokidarka, she had rectal relations, so then in situation, as long as she was under the age of a Bogeris and she hadn't had vaginal relations, so then she would still be considered, according to Rabbi Meir, to marry a Kohen Gadol. So that's the way Rabbi Meir dashes the pasuk Isha Bivsuleha Yikach. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sabri, they hold differently. Again, we're interested in Rabbi Shimon over here. Rabbi Elazar holds just like him, but the point is Rabbi Shimon, Sabri, no. The word Bisula implies Shlema Mashma. That implies that she both is not a Bogeris and that she never had relations. When it says Bisuleha, that's a more medical situation, that as long as she has physical Bisulim still intact, she didn't have relations with anybody, even though she's a Bogeris, that would still be good. But now it comes along and tells us, Bivsuleha, we turn to Tzadi Ches of an Aleph, when it says that Bivsuleha, that comes to teach us, no, she you call Bivsuleha Kayamim, she needs absolutely everything intact, not only vaginal, but also Shalokidarka. She you call Bivsuleha Kayamim, she can't be a Bogeres, she can't have had relations with anybody, and those relations can't have been vaginal or rectal relations. Bein Kidarka, Bein Shalokidarka. So this is just Drishas HaPsukim that they're arguing about. But it's not the fundamental understanding. And the fundamental understanding in terms of Ksuba is Rav Meir holds as long as some of the Ksuba has not been paid out, she's entitled to Mizonos. And Rav Shimon says, no, unless the entire Ksuba has not been paid out, as soon as she collects some of her Ksuba, she's no longer entitled to Mizonos. So that, in fact, is the Machlokes over here between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.